This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rolls Oconee Historical Society. I'd like to read one more excerpt from Arnold Grefton's writings, which are to be found in the Rolls Oconee Museum's research area. His book is called Land of Howling Wolves, and this is from Part 1, published in 1973. He writes, I recently made a check of discontinued post offices in the Rolls Oconee and nearby areas. I came up with a count of 29, many of these post offices having a general store in connection. One of these was Winner, where only a cement block silo now remains. I so vividly remember when I was a young lad in my early teens of making a trip to the Jackpine Ridge with my parents to pick blueberries. We were picking along the Winner Road when mail carrier Pete Espy drove by. He had the route from River Post Office to Malung. His father was sub-carrier once in a while. A Mr. Hansen was carrier from Winner to River. Winner at one time had two general stores, a blacksmith, land office, resident game warden, school, Lutheran church, and a newspaper, the Northern Minnesota Booster, published by Mr. J.H. Sanders. Mr. Sanders plotted the original townsite of Roseau in 1892. There were many who homesteaded and settled in the Winner area. However, during the Depression years of the 1930s, the powers that be decided that the Sandridge was not suitable for agriculture and withdrew their support as far as roads and schools were concerned. This caused many to move out, but still retain titles to their places. In 1939, the last storekeeper at Winner, Ole Moen, had an auction on his store goods and buildings and moved out. What had been an active community was once again the undisputed grounds of deer, bear, and moose. In the 1940s, considerable logging was being done on the Jackpine Ridge, the jackpine by now being used as pulpwood by the paper mills in their manufacture of paper, the larger logs being sawed into lumber. There was a good market for the lumber and pulpwood. The pulpwood was generally sold to pulp buyers at Warroad and Roseau. Many farmers of the area would buy stumpage from the state and spend winters on the Jackpine Ridge logging to get lumber for their own use. Ralph Thompson, a good friend of mine, was stationed at River Ranger Station as forest ranger and later as forester. Ralph was known as the busiest and most efficient ranger in the state. Ralph was a fast walker and a tireless one, as many prospective loggers found out. They would come to River Ranger Station to see if Ralph had some timber to sell them. They would be shown the plots of timber that were for sale. Ralph, walking very fast in the lead, would be explaining all about each different plot as to boundary lines, cordage, etc. The would-be logger running along behind Ralph, gasping for breath, and so played out that he couldn't say whether he wanted the particular plot in question or not. Then Ralph would take off again through the timber, saying, "We have some more timber over this way I want to show you," and very unaware of the suffering going on behind him. Ralph was an extremely conscientious man and did much for the welfare and economy of the area he served. In the winter of 1965, Ralph told me that the government was starting a program to aid underprivileged boys in getting much-needed employment. They were to be paid $1.25 per hour, work 32 hours per week the year around. This work was to be done on the pre-designated worthwhile projects that would be of benefit to the public. At the time, there were many such projects throughout the country in cities and rural areas. These boys had to be at least 16 years of age, but could not have reached the age of 22. They were called the Neighborhood Youth Corps, or simply NYC boys. Ralph said these boys must have an adult supervisor or crew leader. Do you want the job? Yes, we're going to have a crew of NYC boys working out of River Ranger Station. A small crew to start with. Your job will be to supervise the boys in their work of timber stand improvement, removing trees and brush on curves and blind corners for better traffic visibility, ditching, hauling gravel, and many other jobs that may come up. You and your crew will also be working part of the time at Clear River and possibly Grigla doing similar work. Also in the summer, aiding forestry personnel in their prescribed burning. Then you'll be on fire patrol duty till these burns are out. I agreed to take the job. For several years previously, I had worked under Ralph as tree planting foreman for the state. Tree planting at that time usually being from 2 to 4 weeks in early summer and the same length of time in the fall of the year. I started my work as NYC crew leader on March 10, 1965, and worked until the last of June 1967, when we ran out of eligible boys. I was appointed as the first on-the-job supervisor at the Hayes Lake State Park Project. I began work there on May 17, 1968, and worked until the end of September in 1972, when I suffered a stroke and had to resign. That's the end of today's story. I encourage you to go to the Roseau Museum and look through the large selection of books available there for research. We're very grateful for the writings of Arnold Grefthen and others, and to their families for donating them to the museum. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.